My guest today, Lori Collins, she is the chair of the education department at Howard Community College. And maybe, Lori, you can talk to me a little bit about this kind of interesting experience that I have had working at HCC, working at the radio station, where I've taken a couple of students as interns with me, thinking, I'm not a teacher, I don't know how to teach, I don't see myself in a classroom full of people, you know, that I need to grade assignments for, and I need to come up with things for, like, what am I going to teach them, right? However, having this experience of an intern, you know, with me, it has taught me two things, two very valuable things. One, that I am capable of teaching, because I have found myself teaching, but two, that I learned so much more from that experience, because it puts me in a position where I need to really look at what I am doing. And so it kind of like refines my own abilities, but also that interaction with the students and what I get from that just enriches me so much. So I guess with that very long story and background, I want to welcome you, Lori, to our show. And I get really excited, and I'm very passionate about education. I guess that's why I've been talking for so long so much. But it's time for me to just take it back a notch and welcome you. And let's start by learning about you a little bit, and then go into, you know, that process of teaching and learning through teaching. Okay. So welcome.
All right. Well, thank you very much. As nervous as I am, because this is not teaching, this is very different to be, when I teach, I think of the students being front and center. And, you know, so now I sort of feel like I'm on the hot spot, which is really different. That was a wonderful introduction. I think you captured so much of what's going on right now for people who are not only currently teaching, but all of the students that we work with that are so excited to become teachers, and the challenges that they're preparing for. But at the same time, you talked about this experience where you had this virtual audience, very much like teachers are dealing with now, and yet you still felt the energy, and there was still that passion and commitment. And I couldn't be prouder of educators and future educators than I am now, because of how much they're rising to these challenges. So it's exciting to talk about it and get to share a little bit about what the college is doing with teacher education. So you had asked me to talk a little bit about how I got into teaching. Okay, yeah, I almost lost the question and sort of ran off in the other direction. So I was probably one of those rare people that knew from maybe age 3 that I wanted to be a teacher. And there are a lot of us out there. We're the ones who line up our stuffed animals and our dolls, and we set up school, you know, and so I was doing that from the earliest age. And there was never a question in my mind about me becoming a teacher, because it's what I love to do. My parents, interestingly enough, as much as they valued education, every time I would come home and say, oh, I got an A in biology, well, what about med school? You know, they didn't feel like teaching was going to be enough. And yet I have learned, as you said, so much. I have constantly grown from teaching. And I knew it was a profession that I could stay with a lifetime, because it's always changing, it's always challenging, it's always exciting, and I have never looked back and never considered anything else. But I say that because I say I'm one of the rare people. So many people go into teaching as a second career because they've discovered, as your story illustrates with having an intern, they all of a sudden discover that, well, all of us are teachers in some way, and what an incredible experience to take something you're passionate about and share it with someone else. There is nothing more gratifying than saying, I love what I do, and here's someone who's interested in it, and I get to spend time with them and feed off of each other and learn from each other. And so there are a lot of people unlike me who are coming into teaching as a second career because of this passion they've discovered.
You know, I love what you said, and I love the analogy and the little story you told about, you know, with the stuffed animals and everything else, because there is a passion. And I kind of have an experience, you know, you just said with your child. with you as a child and your parents, with my child, since my little one, or I guess she's big now, but since she was little, she always, I mean, from when I can remember, she's always said that she wanted to cook, that she wanted to be a baker, that she wanted to be, you know, something in the kitchen. I'm not a cook. Kitchen and I don't see eye to eye. I mean, we have a relationship that it's, you know, based on sustainability, nothing else, quite honestly. Yeah. And I had a really hard time wrapping my mind around my daughter going into cooking and wanting to make that a career. And so I can certainly, and I was thinking, you know, kind of like what your parents probably were thinking, well, your salary. And, you know, because, I mean, this career is, it's rare, those people who make really good amount of money in education or in cooking, you know, through culinary, right? They're non-traditional careers. We usually look like, you know, for doctors or lawyers or other types of career, engineers, where we know that there is a different pay range, right?
Right.
What kept you going strong? I mean, what was it in you that you felt that, no, I know that this is what it is for me and this is what I want to do?
Well, I used to teach career development and one of the many things I taught, and there's a saying, and it's terrible. I should know who actually said this, but I don't remember, but it was something along the lines of values are the emotional wages of your career or your job. In other words, if your career lines up with what's important to you, salary is only one aspect. And certainly you said it perfectly. Nobody goes into teaching because they want to be rich. You know, same with your daughter. One of the things that I've had in my background, in addition to career development, I used to be in charge of the culinary program for Howard County Schools. So I'm very familiar with people who want to go into the hospitality and culinary industry too. And they're going in it because this is what they want to do. And for me, it was never about money, but it was watching the change in students in my classroom. And there is nothing more exciting than knowing that you've supported, influenced, provided the groundwork, the foundation, asked the right questions, did those things and brought out this change in, for the better in someone, watching them grow. I taught, my first teaching job was middle school, and having hired a lot of teachers when I was with Howard County Schools, I can tell you, you either love or hate that age. Is that around where, is your daughter in middle school now or is she high school?
She's high school now, but I do have a middle schooler. So I, yes, it's an interesting age.
It is. Interesting is the right word. But I loved it because I would have the same student in front of me, and in a 2-minute conversation, that student would go from being a child to being a young adult in the same conversation and switching back and forth. And you find that exciting. To watch people grow and develop, there can't be any greater, to me, any greater gift. And so for someone like your daughter, you know, watching something that she creates that then gives people pleasure is just another whole form of there's her values being satisfied in her career.
And I can see her eyes just light up. And it, I mean, I see it, I feel it. And so I have switched my mind and I have become fully supportive of that because I really do see that love and that passion that you're talking about. Yep. And I think that it has to be at the heart of any career that we decide, you know,
yes.
And that we decide to follow. And that's beautiful for people like you and my daughter who have known since you guys were little. So definitely, you know, if you're a parent maybe out there watching this show today or listening to us today, as a parent, it's difficult to hear, you know, your child say some of the career ideas because we have some ideas of our own that we would like to, right. You know, for them to try. But just know that really the best thing that we can do is to support whatever it is that they want to do. And then you will get to experience. And that's where we are teachers, right? That's where we as parents become teachers. That's how we're teaching. So
absolutely.
Lori, what is the mission of the teacher education program at Howard Community College? You know, we've talked about the mission even as parents or just as individuals. So let's talk about the actual program itself at HEC and the mission it has.
Okay. So we have, I'm probably going to jump around a little bit because it's a very broad program. We have four different sort of areas that we focus on. One is early childhood education. And that can be everything from a person who wants to have a home-based family daycare and bring children into their home to care for them in a, that kind of a loving, small environment, all the way through someone who wants to go on and teach early childhood in the public school system, so pre-K through third grade. So that's one. We have elementary education, and that's probably our biggest program because that's anybody who wants to teach basically first grade up through whatever is in an elementary school setting. So sometimes that can be sixth grade. Then we have secondary, and that's middle and high school. And for those students, they're usually excited both about teaching, but also there's an area of content that they love. They're scientists, they're mathematicians, they love to write, so they can't wait to teach students about literature and writing. They have some passion, and then they also want to marry that with teaching. And then the fourth area we have is that one I mentioned earlier for career changers, those people unlike me and unlike your daughter who didn't know they wanted to be teachers, and then they discover it later on. And we have courses that are designed for someone who already has a bachelor's degree, maybe has gotten hired to teach in some sort of an area where there's a shortage like math, and they need to then pick up the courses that'll help them to be more effective in the classroom. So that's our fourth program area that we have. And we have a variety of degrees in each of those to prepare people for those fields. I think the mission of the community college teacher ed program is different than the mission of your baccalaureate universities like Towson and College Park, because we're serving all those different populations. So we have everything from the early childhood educator who comes in and says, I just want to pursue a certificate at this point because I just want to bring children into my home and know that I can do the very best job. To someone who says, I absolutely am going to get my teaching degree in secondary ed, and eventually I want to get a master's, maybe a doctorate, and I want to be an administrator. So we have that full range in our program. And in addition, we also want to bring in those students, like you talked about earlier, that may not know what they want to do or may not think teaching's for them, or in some cases, like me, whose parents might be saying, oh, teaching's a tough career and, you know, it doesn't pay a whole lot. And are you sure you want to teach? And those are the students that need our program, because you can take a course and just explore. And within our earliest courses, we have this field experience component, which right now we're doing virtually, and it's actually working beautifully. But the normal way was for us to have them in schools and observing. And when they're observing, they're watching that teacher and they're watching those interactions and they're saying, do I see myself up there? Is this something I see myself doing? Do I love this age, or do I want to have another experience with a different age group? Because I thought I wanted the littlest ones, but now I'm thinking I want high school. So we provide really early on experiences for students who are undecided, who think they want to teach but don't know what age group, or think they want to teach elementary but they also love math and all of a sudden discover they want to go middle school math. So it's those early experiences we can provide for a whole range of students that may or may not know. And in many ways, we think it's almost as valuable. We want everyone to want to be a teacher, but we also think it's valuable if someone comes into the program, says, I'm thinking about it, uses that early observation and says, now I realize I don't want to be in the classroom. I want to do something else. That's valuable too. Let's help direct them to another place in the college where they do find their values being satisfied.
Sounds like the mission is to really meet everybody wherever they are and figure out if teaching is the right career path for not
Absolutely.
Or not for them. And that's a teacher. It's a teacher mindset.
I can't help it.
At heart, you know, to just meet you where you are and help you succeed, whatever that success means for you. So, absolutely. Absolutely. That's a teacher's mindset. You mentioned all the different programs that you have, and I'd like to go back and just kind of like explore them a little bit, because I think that that's another thing. There's so many things that you just said that I wanted to go back to, but I think the best thing is to really dive a little bit into each one of the programs and explore them, because as you said, maybe I feel like I want to deal with the little ones, but then I go and experience that and I realize actually I prefer that interaction with a teenager where it's almost like talking to an adult and you mm-hmm. know, they express their ideas better, right?
Right, right. And they can understand yours maybe a little quicker, and you can speak more as an adult and have them understand. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, when we're looking at early childhood development, right? Mm-hmm. What are we talking about? And I have the first category that I have here is early childhood development special ed for pre-K. So let's talk about this track a little bit and what the focus is and who would be ideal to go into this track.
Okay. So in the early childhood area, we have what's called a letter of recognition, which is simply two courses. And that exists for someone who wants to or may already be working in an early childhood setting, a preschool, a childcare setting, and they want to advance to the next level. They might be assisting and they want to be a teacher. And so this is just two courses. It's quick, and they come in, they take those two courses. They are able to get certification for early childhood to be in a childcare setting to teach. And that's where they often start and then come back to us, because there's really this whole pathway. So then the next step is we have a certificate program, and that program goes beyond and offers students about 32 credits worth of real focused work on how children develop, how to create a learning environment that allows them to develop through play and exploration, how to be an administrator in that setting, how to work with parents, how to identify children who have additional support needs. And so that program is designed for someone who wants to advance in the field. So it's really wonderful that we have these stepping stones already prepared in the degree programs. The next thing in early childhood is an associate, an AAS, Applied Science. And again, very focused on I'm in the career I want to be in. I'm working with the little ones that I want to work with, but now I want to advance. I want to become a director, assistant director, a director in this field. I know this is what I want. And then we have students that come in for that, and then they say, I'd like to be in the public school setting. I know I want little ones. I love watching that development, that very early emerging of literacy, that getting little ones excited about learning to read and understanding everything in the world and exploring science, because it's all around us in the environment that we're in. And so these students may start out in the applied science, the AAS, and then say, I want to go into public school. And for that, I need either an AA or an AAT, because I've got to take all the general education things to get me ready to transfer for that bachelor's. So that pathway is really for those students who know they want that, the youngest learners, and they want to then move into the public school setting with those young learners. So that's our early childhood area. And it's a broad range, because we have students that come into our child development class, which is one of our first classes that students take, that want to go into pediatric nursing, that want to be a children's librarian, that want to become a psychologist. So we don't just have students who want to become teachers with the youngest learners. We have students who want to have some career working with our youngest. And it can be anything from, you know, a librarian to psychologist to something in the medical area working with small children.
So do they come because of that experience that you guys offer with the children? Is that what they're looking for? And I think that's fascinating, the fact that, you know, other careers would come and benefit mm-hmm. from that. The career itself, it sounds like it's already teaching in so many ways. So mm-hmm. if a student wants, and they know that they want to do something pediatrics, they want to work with little children, but they don't want to be teaching. It's another field, like you just said. Right. What is the experience that, and how does that, you know, work out? How does it combine so that they can just come and enroll in? Are there specific classes that they would enroll in, or how does that work?
Well, typically, if they're just exploring because they know they want to work with little children, they're going to take our course in child development, child growth and development, because that is a foundational course in understanding the physical, social, emotional, intellectual growth from prenatal period all the way up through early adolescence. So if you know you want to work with children in any capacity, that's an ideal course to take. And so that would be one of the first things that they would take with us. And sometimes that may be enough in and of itself, because it gives them that foundation in those years of development. And then they go on and they take whatever else they need for whatever career. So if it's nursing, they're going to take psychology and sociology. But this is a great way for them to really narrow their focus to that age group that they're most interested in. Other students might want to pick up, we have a course in Introduction to Special Education, and it really is, while it's designed for people who want to go into teaching, if you have a feeling that you're going to work with any special needs at all, and again, so your psychologists, your social workers, this is a wonderful course because it introduces you to a range of disabilities and support needs for individuals with disabilities. So that can be another course that people may want to use to explore. The other area that I think is fabulous, and it also satisfies a general ed area, is Intro to Education or Intro to Early Childhood Education. Those are two separate courses, one focused on the early learners and then one that's general for elementary through secondary. And those courses really give you an overview of the educational system in the United States, and anybody who is a parent, who intends to be a parent, any taxpayer, anybody who really wants to understand what's going on with education now and kind of what its historical roots are, why does our education system look the way it does, operate the way it does, that course allows you to explore all of that. So it's, again, a very exciting course, and there's so many different fields where understanding the public education system in this country would be really valuable.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think in today's age, I think we've, especially with COVID, I think it's really, really important, and it has really focused and it has really pushed us all to look at the educational system, and it has really opened our eyes to how much it provides for everybody in our communities, which I don't think that we necessarily were given credit for everything that it was given to us.
Right. I think now that our physical school buildings are closed for the most part to in-person learning, or at least they're only doing small bits and pieces of it, we recognize the food and nutrition role, the social services role, the emotional and health and wellness role, the physical activities and physical development, the arts. I mean, so many other things outside of the immediate mission of education that parents maybe, and just as a society, we may not have completely appreciated.
Absolutely. Elementary education, 1 through 6. And I was a little surprised to see 6 there because I thought 6 was middle school. And, mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about that and what the focus is for this track.
So for this group, these are the students who may enjoy early learners, but don't necessarily say that that's the only group that sings to me. I want to consider every age. And the reason 6th grade is in there is that depending on where you end up teaching, 6th grade in Maryland, typically it is in the middle school, but there are some models out there where 6th grade is still in the elementary school in other states, for example. So this gives you that full range, so you can do anything from 1st grade up into 6th grade in an elementary school. And again, as someone who hired middle school teachers, I loved elementary trained teachers because they understood differentiation, that ability to address learners at extreme ranges within the same classroom. They understood it better than just about any other trained teacher out there, because they knew that in a 4th grade classroom, they were getting learners who were still working on 2nd grade level on certain concepts. And then they had learners that might've been on 6th, 7th grade level, depending. And they had to be able to address the needs of all those learners. So that for elementary students, elementary majors, elementary ed majors, really the idea is that their focus is on taking that broad range of students and, as you said earlier, meeting them where they are and moving them where they need to be. And they don't necessarily have a favorite age. They just want to teach. So my background, I was elementary ed, and then I taught middle school. So it prepared me really well for what I was going to encounter in the middle school. So it's a great degree.
Now, you said earlier, secondary, as we move along, secondary education, you said that that could be a little more focused if there's something that you're more passionate about. Yeah. So how is the secondary education maybe different than the other tracks?
Secondary, that's where really students have to make a decision what it is they want to teach. So if a student says, I want to teach high school, the follow-up question is always, what is it that you're excited about teaching? Because then you do have to have, and I'm sorry, there are birds chirping in the background now. There's crows flying over. This is the thing about doing this outdoors. If you're secondary ed, you're going to teach, you might teach two content areas. It's not uncommon for a secondary ed teacher to be teaching biology and chemistry, for example, or even sometimes something like math and science. So that's not unusual, but most secondary people have a passion about a single subject area: science, math, Spanish, English, social studies, some area that really they love, and they want to teach students the content that falls under that. And so if you're secondary ed, you'll be asked to choose an area of focus. Even while you're with us at HCC, and then of course, after you transfer, you're gonna really delve into that area.
So you have to have more of a clear path in your mind, or of a clear like passion almost, that you just are excited about sharing with your students, mm-hmm. so that then you can really focus your studies on that. That's really interesting. You know, that I think that works a little bit different than Ecuador. And I love that you said that you mentioned the education course that everybody should and could take. Because that was one of the big things for me trying to navigate how school works here. First of all, in Ecuador, when I was there, it was first through sixth grade, elementary, seventh, and it was, again, first through sixth is what we called it, and what would have been here, 7 through 12, for secondary, right? So, and that was it. So we have high school and elementary school. So you went from elementary to high school. That's how it worked in Ecuador. And I guess it was always kind of like the same. I didn't specifically have too many different teachers who were necessarily specialized in things. It was more teachers knew more of different subjects and they could come and you know, fill in. So that was different for me. So at navigating the whole educational system when you come from a different country, mm-hmm. it was really interesting. Then the other thing is over there, most students go to private school because public school system is not as strong as it is here in the States. Mm-hmm. So to come here and then figure out that depending on where I was living, that's where my kids were going to go to school,
right?
That I couldn't choose the school that they wanted to go. I do have the option of going private if I wanted to. It was just a big shift. So, and I have come to realize that for some parents who even grew up here, navigating the system as a parent can be a little bit challenging. So I love that you brought that up, because I think just to understand it and to go even deeper, to go more into the background of it and how it turned out to be the way that it is today, mm-hmm. Especially now that we're looking so much at social justice and we're looking at, you know, the way that the systems have been built and the way that they work, I think it's important to really go back and really study the story and really study the history of it, come with a full understanding for the present and see. I think that that's where we can really make some impact and make some changes if they need to be made.
Absolutely. In fact, I'm glad you mentioned that, because a group that I didn't even think about until you start talking about it, people who want to go into politics and public policy, they really should take intro to ed, because you should not be making decisions about how taxpayers' dollars are spent in education unless you really understand how it got to be the way it is, all the different roles that we talked about earlier that we've asked schools to take on, and we just assume that they can do this. And politicians sort of like to talk about accountability, but need to have maybe a better understanding. And so anybody going in that direction or thinking they might go in that direction really should take intro to ed as well and understand. And you also mentioned as someone coming from another country, and I think one of the things that enriches our classes so much is we do have students in there that have gone through other educational systems, and we have some fascinating discussions because the students will talk about, well, this is what I experienced. My schooling was very different, and here's how it looked, here's how it felt. And being able to hear what are the strengths of those other models, and are there things that we can change or adopt? Because we certainly can learn from so many other people and places.
And I personally value that a lot too. To your point, one of my favorite memes, I guess, that's going out right now is like, if you're not a teacher, then please don't tell us how to teach in this new environment with COVID. And because we all have our views, and these are challenging times, right? And there are some people who are totally on, we need to reopen, their team reopen, right? And they have their reasons, and they're very valid and they're very strong.
Absolutely.
And there are people out there who are like, no, we need to stay home. You know, their team, let's continue to just stay home and wait for COVID to kind of like disappear before we can come out safely. And I totally understand that those reasons as well, and they're valid, right? And so as you're navigating the school system, and I can't even imagine for teachers who have their personal views, who also have their families,
absolutely,
right? Their situations. I mean, just because you're a teacher doesn't mean that you don't have kids, doesn't mean that you don't have parents, doesn't mean that you don't have
right,
other things, right, to worry about and to take care of. So I can't even imagine, you know, what all the pressure that they're feeling. I know the pressures that I'm feeling at home. I have two kids who are pretty much, I guess, at this point independent, middle school and high school. Mm-hmm. I personally would prefer them to go safely back to school. That's where because it's just better. They learn better that way. I did realize that. They're not the best online learners.
Right.
So for their learning experience, it would benefit tremendously for them to go back to school. But I can't push that. I don't know what's safe. I don't know what's, so it's like, that's my personal view, but I don't feel like I understand the system enough. Mm-hmm. You know, going back to that idea of taking that class, that I could say, let's just do it this way. You know what right, I mean? That's just looking at my situation, and that's kind of being a little selfish, quite honestly, and what would work for me.
Well, I think as a parent, your job is, you said selfish, but I think your job as a parent is to be the advocate, to be a little bit narrowly focused on what do my children need, understanding that that's you speaking about what's best for your children. But there aren't any easy answers, as we've discovered. It's not a case of, okay, it's safe now, let's all go back. And also, when you do go back, things are different. I mean, when you think about it, children aren't going to be hugging or sitting right next to each other, sharing materials or doing some of the things that they, did. So even if we go back into the buildings, things are still going to be different. And I want to say, because I have a lot of teacher friends, I have family members who are teachers, that's my background. There isn't a teacher who doesn't want to be back in the classroom with their children, with their students. This is very difficult for them. So for them to not feel it's time, that's a really painful choice that they're making, or a painful position. They're not even necessarily making a choice, because they also feel the same way you do as a parent. They want to be in touch with their children. Early childhood teachers want to be very close with their learners, because they know that social emotional growth is so critical. And being able to do that in person, to engage students, to see their faces and see their reactions, you can't substitute that. So they're doing the very best they can, as parents are doing too. And I think that this is all new territory for everybody. And we're going to discover a lot of things. As you mentioned earlier, the very start of the program, the things that you discover from doing this, one of the things we discovered, we talk about that field experience where we send students out to observe in the schools. And now we've had to use a series of videos. These are fabulous videos, but we felt like, oh gosh, this is not the same thing. And it isn't. And yet the quality of the reflections we're getting back from students is actually deeper, greater, because they're able to play it more than once. They're able to slow it down. They're able to watch it several times and maybe draw some new conclusions. So while it can't duplicate what they're getting, just as we can't duplicate that in-classroom experience for our learners, we can do some really wonderful things, and we'll continue to learn how to do it better and better as we go along, just as the college is doing. You know, where we were in the spring when we had to quickly shift gears, and where we are now in the fall, it has a different feel. And if this has to continue this way or some variation, we're just going to get better and better at it. And the students themselves are going to become better at being self-directed. You've probably seen a change in your own children. Yeah. So I guess I don't think you can be a teacher if you're not optimistic and hopeful. I think it's really hard to be in this profession if those aren't two of your personal characteristics. So I guess I always look at things that way and just assume this is a work in progress. And it just keeps improving as we learn and as we discover what's best for the students that we're working with.
And I think that's a really beautiful way to look at this. You know, it's a work in progress. We are learning through this. We will continue to adapt and be flexible. And just really, I just want to remind everybody, I know it's difficult, and I know it's difficult to hear, you know, one way or the other, depending on where you are in the issue and how you feel. If you hear from government, or if you hear from, you know, the people at school that they're going to go in the way that you think it should go, I mean, it feels great. But if you're on the other side, just remember that they're really trying to do the best that they can. I always make the analogy, I make decisions that affect five people, right? The five people here in my family. Mm-hmm. And that's, I know that at least one of them is not going to be happy all the time, right? The decision right. that I make. Yeah. So when you're deciding for thousands of people, it's even more difficult. So just be patient, just be flexible with that, and just continue to be kind with each other as we continue to navigate through this. We will get through it one way or the other. We're going to be stronger, like Laura said, at the other end, because even our children are getting valuable lessons through this. Maybe things that they didn't think that they could do, like learning online. Now they know, and when they go to college, I mean, learning online in college is not a new thing, right? So maybe now it'll give them more flexibility, because they know that they can do this now, and they might just look at their careers differently and do things differently. I don't know. We'll time will tell, as yes. they say.
Yeah, it will.
But great lessons we'll end up taking from COVID. Tell us, Laurie, a little bit about the professional training program for Maryland Teacher Education Certification here at Howard Community College.
Well, this one is, it's like having favorite children. I can't have favorite programs, and I don't. But what I love about these courses is that everybody in there generally has some experience. They may be having substituted for a long time, so they have a bachelor's degree, they've been substitute teaching, and they say, I've substituted, and if I can be a substitute, which is a tough job, I know I want to teach. And so they're in there, and they're bringing that wealth of experience. And then we have people that already have been teaching, and they just don't have their certification, and they're in the classroom together, and in my case now, virtual classroom together. And they have actual experiences that they can draw from, they can share. And so I'm teaching one of those classes that's in that program, in educational assessment. And I'm not just talking about assessment with students who've been assessed but have never been the teachers. I'm talking to people who are already in the classroom. And often they'll say, I'm going to try what we just discussed And then they'll come back with those results. You know, this worked really well. This, the students loved this. This helped me to see a whole thing that I was missing. So these courses are fabulous. They're, all the community colleges have some of these courses, not all. And so one of the nice things about Maryland is that we've worked out some arrangements so that students are able to take courses from other campuses. And so that's a whole other aspect of this program that is pretty exciting. If you need a course that we're not offering, but we know Anne Arundel is offering, we're able to make arrangements with Anne Arundel. So we're able to really help people who want to become teachers get that certification. We're really there to help make that happen and create that pipeline, because we know we need teachers. And I think now, given everything that's happening, I think we're going to have a greater need, a growing need, and we need to do everything in our power to make that pathway smoother.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've talked a little bit about how things have transitioned, but we haven't really talked about how HCC has adapted to learning online and how the classes are going. So tell us a little bit about that experience, and maybe, I don't know, maybe some feedback that you've been hearing from the students.
Well, one of the things, every fall, right before the fall semester starts, you probably know this, all the departments have these meetings, big meetings that now, of course, we did them on Zoom, and the meeting and brings in all of the adjunct and full-time faculty, and we call it all faculty night. And it's kind of like our pep rally for starting the semester. And so because I know there were a lot of concerns from the spring, from teachers, from the faculty about shifting to all online learning, I asked them to tell me a positive that came from that shift. And it was very interesting. Most of them reported that they felt more engaged with their students, in the sense that I think when you don't have the person in front of you, or you do, but they're on a screen, you maybe work a little harder at, you know, what are these ways that I can engage this learner, because I've got to hang on to them. And it's harder when I'm not in the same room with them. And discussions feel a little different because there's not the easy, like you and I talking now, this is great. It feels almost like being here in person. But when you're doing it in a remote way and it's not real time, and so you're posting a question and then 5 hours later someone posts a response, how do you make that engaging for learners? And I think the concern in the spring was that it wasn't going to be. And so what I saw were full-time and adjunct faculty trying all different ways to engage their students and keep them engaged. And what's wonderful about being in teacher ed is that we're not only doing these things, but we're also modeling it. So everything that we were trying, and we try to make it visible to the students, you know, I'm trying this, how did it feel? Because you're going to be trying this with your own learners. And I think that we discovered ways to keep our students engaged. I would say education became much more individualized. It's not easy, but I think that you're reacting now, every student's getting individual feedback in more depth and quantity than they were when they were in a big classroom and you might have delivered a message or a correction or a question to the whole group. Now it's me one-on-one personally interacting with you and your question and my response. So I think in many ways, education just became even more intimate than it was before.
And I really appreciate that about this whole process. You know, I know that there's been a lot of challenges and there's a lot of things that we're ready to discard that we just want to not have to worry about anymore, right?
Yeah.
However, there's so many good things that have come out of it. You know, I think communication is one thing that we have all had to really work hard through this process, because before it was easy to go. And as you said, I love face-to-face communication. I prefer to be in front of somebody because I can feed from their reactions and you know, it's just, I don't know, there's something rich about that I really appreciate, right? But I didn't have that anymore. So before I could go and talk to my supervisor or go talk to, you know, my coworker or go talk to somebody just down to the, at the, yeah, at the end of the hallway or whatever mm-hmm. it might be, right? Well, now I have to send an email, right? Because I'm not going to Zoom them just to say, we need to finish this or we need to finish that, right? So I need to make sure that I am effectively communicating that via email, that it's clear and it has, you know, that they can understand it. So mm-hmm. it has, I do have to say, that's something that I personally experienced. It has had me really think about how I'm putting my messages out there to make sure that the other person will read them and understand them and right. then be able to get back to me with what I need. Mm-hmm. So it's been a teaching, it's been a learning process for sure.
Yeah, well, I think what you just said about having to be more precise in your communication and also understanding that because I don't have the facial expression, I don't have the person in front of me, being maybe even more mindful of the inclusivity of my message. Am I including all students? Being more careful with the words I choose. I tend to sometimes toss around expressions that are familiar to me growing up, but realizing I have international students or non-native speakers in my classroom and understanding that I have to be more intentional about the messages I deliver. And guess what? That's really good teaching. So I think that learning to be an even more effective communicator has actually been a benefit. You know, I hate to look at that way, but like I said earlier, I'm always an optimist. So I'm going to say that's a benefit of having to be more careful about how we communicate and to be able to do it effectively. And I think I'm really proud that HCC took a leadership role in moving to these virtual observations, for example, while other campuses were still kind of scrambling a little bit, how do we replace the experience of students in the classroom? We had already identified these videos that were classroom scenarios, and we're already using them with students. So that made that transition a little smoother for us too. And I think that was something else we feel like, yeah, we did that pretty effectively as a college.
And I think that's the response from HCC throughout this entire time has been very clear. It has been, I mean, it just really felt like good leadership is behind HCC. And I think that mm-hmm. when it comes from the top, it really just kind of like translates into every aspect of the college. So I feel very, very confident with all of the classes happening this semester. So where can people find more information and connect with you?
The best way to find more information is the HCC website itself. Wonderful wealth of information and everything that you possibly could need to know. And then I'm easily reached by email, and that's the best way to get in touch with all of us these days. And we also have a fabulous advisor who is dedicated to teacher ed and education and early childhood education, Ruth Ann Wickless. And Ruth Ann is available through the Advising Center virtually and knows and can talk to students about all of those programs I talked about and all of the options and where to get started. So between the two of us, we've got that covered, and we'll be announcing, and I know that this will be posted on the website, the HCC website as well. Ruth Ann and I will be dividing up days where we just kind of have open sort of drop-in virtual information and advising, and we'll get information out about that, and students are welcome to, even if they're just barely thinking about it, I would love for them to come and have a conversation.
Is there anything else, Lori? We're just about at the end of our program today. Is there anything else that you would like to add, or maybe that we missed during our conversation?
Oh, we talked
that
about
you just want to leave everybody with.
Well, I think I want to leave everybody with the idea that teaching is probably, I mean, one of our sayings is it's the profession that creates all other professions, meaning that, as you said earlier, education really is the foundation for anything you want to do in life. And there can be no greater calling than to be a teacher. We all teach in some ways, but when you dedicate your life to it, it's an experience like no other. And I can't imagine a more rewarding profession. Obviously, I'm biased, but the rewards are constant. And we're not talking about financial. We're talking about emotional, social rewards. And as you pointed out, when we talk about issues of equity and issues of needing to unite and what's happening in our country, regardless of where you stand politically, this is a profession that impacts all of that and prepares students to go into that world and make better decisions and understand others. And this is where it really happens. So I really hope to encourage more people to think about this profession.
Absolutely, you make an impact. I mean, the moment you are, in my own experience, the moment you have an intern, you're one-on-one with one person. And I, as I said, I didn't think I was teaching. I would never call myself a teacher.
Mm-hmm. You are.
And yeah. I was really surprised to see that I was, you know, I was making an impact. I was making a difference on this one student, or the many students at this point who have come through our radio station, and, you know, what they take with them, they value, and it does, it affects them, it affects their future. So you really do make an impact when you decide to teach. So absolutely. I love what you said, Lori. Thank you so much for, you know, just encouraging everybody. I love that you just opened up so many doors for everybody. You know, you said if you have a passion that is in engineering, if you have a passion that is in politics, if you have a passion that is in any career, right? Fill in the blank kind of thing.
Yep.
You can teach. You know, absolutely. You can take that passion farther and you can teach.
Yes.
So everybody consider doing that and explore a career at teaching at Howard Community College. howardcc.edu would be your place to start to look into that. Lori, thank you so much for all the information. Thank you so much for sharing all
thank
of
you.
This wonderful knowledge and having this conversation with me this morning. I really appreciate it.
It was great. I loved it. Thank you.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.